We are on the fly down at the Vintage Red Barn. A beautiful afternoon in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
You can't get better than this.
It does not get better than this.
And you don't sweat at Oshkosh. That is the best.
I'm Jay Montgi, and H.G. Frouchy is here with me, as always, on this wonderful Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon. How many years have we been doing this here? I think
so
about
many.
7 or 8 years we've done this together. And it's always a pleasure to be the kickoff, the leadoff
batter.
Sometimes
it's windy and pouring down rain, and sometimes it's gorgeous like it is today.
I think most of the time we've been very lucky. We've had only one day of rain, I think, in those 7 years. But it's a great place to come. There's lots to do down here in the Vintage Aircraft Association area. That's the area south of the main area in the center there, just south of Airshow Center. There's so many beautiful airplanes to come see, including a gorgeous Fairchild 71, which showed up, and we all kind of went, wow,
where did
that come from? Because we don't see very many of those, not since Greg Herrick has his here a couple times, but yours is spectacular. It's a beautiful restoration, and we're going to talk to you a little bit more about it, Marlon, in just a second.
Marlon is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, out there in the Amish country, a little airport called Smoketown Airport, Sierra 37, and this 1929 Fairchild is a gorgeous example of this airplane. And did you restore this yourself, Marlon?
Yes, I did.
At your hangar at Smoketown?
Yeah, at our hangar. We live at Smoketown. We own the airport, and I have a restoration business, which, you know, like, it's kind of a hobby turned to business. Our youngest son also has a business on the field. He does what I call spam can restoration, which in a lot of ways is the future of restoration. You know, the next level of vintage restoration is going to be aluminum airplanes.
Now, there'll be a lot of rivets that are going to be banged.
That's right.
You know, 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago, when we started the contemporary category,
right,
we were anticipating the fact that many of the much older airplanes, we weren't going to see them as often at fly-ins, and there were people who were actually doing restorations on those.
We're starting
airplanes
to see that. You know, you can buy a $500,000 airplane and get a new one, or you can buy one for $75,000 and spend $100,000 on it and have almost exactly the same airplane. So I think that particular thought pattern is just coming into existence today. And we're seeing people much more willing to spend money to stop the deterioration process of the aluminum airplane, which obviously are all deteriorating because of corrosion. So.
Yeah, in fact, I take care of an Aranca sedan, and we're dealing with the spar, keeping an eye on it to be sure that it doesn't go back to bauxite.
It's a major issue.
Yeah, it is. And just before we get too far down the road, we want to tell everybody it's Marlon Holst.
Horst
is his last name. And a little more about the Fairchild. We just did a Vintage in Review interview with you, and there were some very interesting details, and particularly how you came to own this airplane, since this was not an airplane you were necessarily looking for.
No, I was looking for a cabin class airplane to restore. I'd done a number of restorations. This is my fifth restoration for myself personally. Of course, my son does. We work together and doing some things all the time on a professional level, but. And I have a Waco, a classic number 25, and so that's a remanufactured design. And I just wanted to do something really unique, something on a larger scale. And so a good friend of mine, Pat Horrigan, was running Waco Classics at that time, and so I just told him to keep his eyes open. And so Steve Curry got a call from the heir of this estate, Gene Frank Estate, out in
Coeur d'Alene.
Caldwell, Idaho.
Caldwell,
okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
And he was all excited, and he just thought this was the perfect project and project that I just absolutely had to do, and I didn't know anything about it. Of course, there wasn't many people that knew anything about Fairchilds, but they were a very significant part of history. Long story short, I became kind of bitten by the bug, and I bought the project. And the results of 6 years of work and 13,000 hours of labor is what's sitting out there on the ramp. So,
and we're not talking about a little airplane here.
No.
This is a massive airpline.
Yeah. It's a 5,500-pound gross weight airplane. Its empty weight was 3,650 pounds, which was about 400 to 500 pounds, heavier than they came out of the factory as utilitarian airplanes. Now, the 71 was very unique. It was the last of a series of five models that Fairchild had developed, and it was the first model that they developed for a new market. And consequently, they changed the numbering system from the FC. There was an FC-1, which was a prototype. They never built the second one. The FC-2 was the first production model. Then they had an FC-2W, which was a designation for the Wright engine they changed. And then an FC-2W-2, which is the one that Greg Herrick has that's down in the Interiors right. building. That was the last model before the 71. All those airplanes were utility airplanes, and they were designed for camera ships.
Well, today the airplane is sitting on the ramp here in front of the Red Barn as part of Vintage in Review. And then at the end of the day, it's going to move back to its parking spot in row
64 down in Vintage Camping.
You can't miss it. It's this great big white with maroon trim Fairchild, and it's the only one on the field in that color that's a Fairchild 71.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's going to be one more here. It's coming tomorrow. So there's two flying 71s.
So, wow. And is that Greg's airplane?
No, that's not. That came from Creve Corps. That was John Knoyer's airplane.
John Knoyer's airplane. Okay, so we'll have three Fairchild 71s on the airport.
Two 71s and one FC-2W2.
FC-2, that's right.
Wow, that's going to be a treat.
Only in Oshkosh.
You know, one thing we can say, HG, is every year we have a very cool selection of unique airplanes here. And thank goodness for these gentlemen that put all this hard labor into these planes to have these representations here. I mean, look out here in front of the Red Barn today.
And to fly them. There are a lot of really great airplanes that are in museums, but guys who take the time to restore them to flying condition and then make the effort to bring them all the way here. I just love the fact that, you know, mine is a 45-second flight. I take off on runway 9, I do a 270, and I land on 18 to get here. Okay, that's it.
Right.
For these guys
it's a tough road,
spend literally dozens of hours sometimes and a lot of money in fuel, we really appreciate it, and it's a big deal.
So we do have these gorgeous airplanes out here, and HG, you've been kind enough to line up a nice list of interviews for us. And one of the other airplanes out here right in front of the Red Barn is this beautiful Lockheed Vega.
There aren't too many Lockheed Vegas in the world, period, and we have the only all-metal currently flying Lockheed Vega. And our friend J.O. McGoffin is here. He's the pilot, and he's going to tell us more about this amazing airplane that was flying back in the early 1980s, right?
Right. Last time it flew was prior to my first flight was 1983.
Okay, and I remember seeing some news about that back then, and then the airplane just kind of disappeared. It fell off the radar, so to speak.
It was tucked away in a hangar in Oklahoma City, and I found it and purchased the airplane in 1995. Then I, looking for motivation and money all at the same time, took me about 12 years to do that. 3.5 years ago, I finally rolled it out, August of 2010, put it into Rick Barter's shop, Arizona Airframes, and for the next 3.5 years, I spent every day off that I had and all of my vacations, much to my wife's chagrin, working in the shop with Rick Barter on the airplane. And 3.5 years later, on Wright Brothers Day, December 17th, 2013, the 110th anniversary of first powered flight, we rolled the airplane out, and I did an actual first flight. I didn't cheat on that deal. I'd only taxied it around the hangar one time, and next morning I had the news crews show up, started the airplane out, and went and took it on its first flight. Proceeded without a flaw, and I was tremendously happy, to say the least.
Where is this Lockheed based?
In Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, I have it on display at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona. So if people want to come to Arizona, if you're coming through Arizona, you want to see a tremendous collection of airplanes, P-51s, Stearman, T-6, B-17, B-25, and the Lockheed Vega, beautiful collection of aircraft in Mesa, Arizona at Falcon Field Commemorative Air Force.
Now, for many people who have seen Lockheed Vegas in pictures, of course, most of them were molded wood. and particularly the fuselage, was a beautiful molded wood product. And this airplane is actually all sheet metal for the fuselage, and then it has the standard Vega wing and standard empennage. Two things for you. One, how much more difficult was it to find information about the all metal? And two, is that an original Army Air Force's color scheme pre-war?
Just give you a little background. They made 130 Lockheed Vegas. Of the 130, 120 were the plywood construction. The other 10 were the metal fuselage, which was produced by Detroit Aircraft Corp., which was actually the holder of Lockheed Corp. So 10 of them were made out of aluminum. My aircraft is the sole surviving example of an aluminum fuselage Lockheed Vega. There are five other Vegas in existence. Two of those are in the Smithsonian. That's the Winnie Mae and Amelia Earhart's airplane. And there's one in the Henry Ford Museum as well. The other survivors are plywood airplanes. My airplane, its sequential sister ships, number 158 and number 159, were the first and second Lockheed products ever acquired by the U.S. military. Number 158 was assigned to the 35th Pursuit Squadron, and that's the paint job that I chose for this airplane just because it's so colorful and so distinctive, and also it's significant because it was the first Lockheed product ever acquired by the military.
It's a gorgeous airplane, and that color scheme really makes it jump out.
You know, and I just love the Black Panther on the side as well, and people walk up and they go, "This airplane never was in the military," and I go, "Yes, it was. This was the first Lockheed."
And for those of us who are model airplane builders, we really appreciate it when you guys do a nice bright color scheme, too, because it's fun to build a model of an airplane that looks like that.
Anyway, just short history of my airplane, built in Burbank by Richard Van Hakey, mm-hmm. who was the chief engineer of Lockheed, went to the Morrell Meat Company of Ottumwa, Iowa. Then it went to Braniff Airlines, went to Texas Northern Airlines, went to Alaska for 20 years of hard bush service, was wrecked and shipped to Compton, California, went back to Ottumwa for the second time where it was rebuilt. Then it was sold to a guy in Oklahoma. I bought it, restored it, and just 2 days ago brought it back to Ottumwa for the third time in its life. So I think that's pretty neat.
I heard you had a nice visit with Mr. Taylor.
Oh, yes, we did.
Are
yes.
you going to take it back for Blakesburg this year?
I haven't decided yet. I may park it up here temporarily, and if I keep it up here for a month and it's convenient, yes, I'd like to go back down there for Blakesburg.
It'd be nice to have you there, too.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. I'm really enjoying it. And tell everybody to come look at the Vega. In fact, they can touch the Vega, and it will be the only time in their lives they'll have a chance to actually touch a Vega. So come on out, look at it, touch it.
And then we'll enlist you in the polishing party later.
Well, that's okay. It's fun, you know? All right. Hey, thanks for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, JL.
You're welcome.
And a beautiful job on that restoration.
Thank you very much.
Well, HG, we're gonna take another break,
okay.
And we're gonna be back in just a few minutes and talk more vintage down here at the Red Barn. You're listening to EAA Radio.